Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
Score, is that bad? What does that mean? Did I break it?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome to the show, folks. Another Sunday. It's always Sunday evening, isn't it? Monday's tomorrow. You get to start the week anew. How does that make you feel? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling strong? Are you prepared to take on the week ahead? Or are you just dreading tomorrow morning where you have to get up and go to work? It's not fun. I don't like it. I had to get up super early this past Monday for a cool reason, though. I got to do the Mike Calta show this week earlier, cover for, well, not for Mike, but just be a part of the show when Galvin was hosting that show. And it was pretty neat, but I had to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not really used to that. That's an unknown realm of the day that I never see and don't really want to see. It was shocking. When the alarm went off, I thought I died, and I was in purgatory. It didn't feel, it was a type of black outside that I'd never seen before. It was unusual. And then I think, well, everybody does this. Most people get up at that time of day, right? You have to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning if you want to get to work on time. It's insane. I don't want to do it anymore, but it was super fun being able to do it. I mean, I hope I get to do it again. If I'm lucky, maybe I will. But, yeah, it's been fun, you know. And it is Sunday, if you're listening on Radio St. Pete here. But, you know, if you're listening on podcasts, it could be Friday. You know, you could be getting ready to go out and have some beers with your bros or your gals. Or maybe you're going to, you know, bang your wife or your husband. So I'm glad I get to be a part of that while you're about to do that. It makes me feel good inside. And I hope it makes you feel just as good. So if you haven't, please subscribe to the podcast. Visit HMB Radio Tampa Bay in the Google Play or iTunes Store. Click the subscribe button and give it a 5-star rating while you're there. And leave a quick little note and say, hey, sweet pod, man. And I'll be like, man, that's cool. Thank you. I appreciate it. I do appreciate it. I'd like to send you stickers, in fact. For doing so, email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, and I'll send some out on me. Don't even worry about it. I got it. No self-addressed stamped envelope crap. No, I'll take care of it, all right? I don't have much, but I have enough to send you some stickers and thanking you for your time. This week on the show, we got Ryan Geddes. Ryan is a world champion of Halo. Halo is a video game on Xbox. And he's the best in the world at it. He lives right here in St. Pete. And he's fresh off the victory of being crowned world champ. So he's going to come in and talk to me about how the hell he gets to play video games for a living. It's a pretty sweet job. This podcast, though, before we get to that, is brought to you by Tap House 61. Taphouse61.com, Wednesday night trivia. Go check it out. Just John and the trivia crew are out there. You can win some Tap House cash. And, you know, you can go out, and if you're smart enough, you can drink for free and have some fun and hang out and maybe meet, you know, a future person that you'll be in a relationship with. Or maybe just a pal, you know. Talk to the person next to you. There's a lot you could learn. You both hate the same football teams, you know, or whatever. But you never know until you try. Say hello next time. Try it out. Taphouse61.com, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Like their Facebook page, keep up with events and things that they are doing. Facebook.com/taphouse, the number 6 and the number 1. You combine those, you get Taphouse 61. And finally, well, not finally, but next, Truvy Salon and Spa. Truvy, T-R-U-V is in victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, here in St. Petersburg. Make an appointment online. It's easy. Truvy, T-R-U-V is in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. You can get some Botox shot in your face. You can get your hair cut. I don't know what else they do there, honestly. What do you do at a spa? And a salon. You just get your hair cut and get your face injected with Botox. But if you're going to get your face injected with poison, go to Chrissy, okay? She's number one in the game at sticking poison in your face, all right? TruvySalonAndSpa.com. And finally, HomemadePodcasts.com. If you're interested in podcasting, if you're an individual or a business and you want to reach potential new clients, I'm your man. That's me. I can speak for this company because it's my company, okay? I know how to do it, all right? HomemadePodcasts.com, check it out, and you can contact me, and we can arrange a meeting of some kind. I'm happy to help you. Okay, Ryan Geddes is here, world champ of video game Halo. He's number one in the world, and he's right here on the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com. Ryan, welcome, man.
Hey.
World champ.
World champion, that's what they call me.
We just talked about this, but how does that make you feel?
It was a good ending to the tournament. I got knocked out pretty early in the 4v4s, which is the main reason I was there. So
what is that, quickly?
The 4v4, two teams.
Oh, four versus four. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So this was not a team effort. This was you won just the one-on-one type battle.
Yeah, the free-for-all. So there's six people in each free-for-all. The top half of the people who place in the free-for-all go on to the next round. Mm-hmm. And then in the finals, I ended up winning.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Quick question, I'm just curious to know. If you had the option, you had to pick one. Would you rather get walked in on while you're on the toilet or walk in on somebody? Both bad.
Both, but very bad. Walk in on someone, definitely.
Okay, why?
Because I'm not the one sitting there. I'm not the one that can't move at all.
You think it's embarrassing to walk in on somebody?
Well, I think it's embarrassing for
it's
both.
Both.
Yeah, definitely. But when you walk in on someone, you have the decisions to make. When you're sitting there, you're just sitting
You're stuck.
There. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
You're relying on that other person to make the correct moves from then on out.
And there's not what you can do.
Nothing.
You just go,
nothing,
oh, God.
You can do.
It's one of those things that it's people have different answers every time, but it's always the same reasoning no matter what they choose. They feel like it would be more embarrassing to be the other person.
I feel like it's equally embarrassing. I just like being able to have the decisions.
You got the control there, Yeah. Okay, so Halo World Champion, you just, when did you get back to St. Pete? You were in Seattle and
I was in Seattle for about 5 days from Wednesday to Monday. Mm-hmm. And it was a great time there. We stayed at a really nice hotel that they set us up in. Free drinks, like bar drinks as well. It was fun. Fun Sunday night.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But yeah, I had a blast there.
So how did you get into gaming? I mean, it's a wildly popular thing now. I haven't played video games. The last system I had was PlayStation 2, and I played Madden, and then I just kind of bailed. But it's just grown in popularity. I think the average video game player is, what, like 33 or something like that?
Really?
That's what I had heard.
All right. Well, how I got into it was when I was young, I was playing all the different games. I wouldn't go to arcades, but my parents would go to the bowling alley, and I would sit there and watch people play games. Or, you know, that's how I started when I was really young.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're pretty young. I mean, you're what? How old are you now?
24.
Okay.
But then when I was a kid, I'd go over to my cousin's house. They would have games to play. I'd play Mortal Kombat back in the days.
I remember that one. That was a fun one.
But then they got Halo. They started hosting little Halo Lands in 2001 where they would have a couple buddies come over. And I would sit there and watch them. I wouldn't even be able to play. I'm like eight years old at that time. Mm-hmm. But then I just kind of messed around on that game a lot. Halo 2 came out in, 2005 or something? And then from then on, I got my own game of it, my own copy of it, so I could play at my house. Xbox Live came out, and I just kind of fell in love with it because I was playing with my cousins all the time. It wasn't like I was just some kid playing some games. Like I am now with other games. I'm sitting there playing some computer games by myself, and it's kind of boring. But when you're a kid, you have friends to play with, mm-hmm. like people your own age, and I mean, I can kind of do that now, but back in the day, it was just like, hey, we're going to hang out, we're going to do this.
Right. They didn't have the online features even back then, really, right? Or that was in its infancy.
That was in its infancy. So you go over to their house, or if you couldn't go over to their house and play like for a couple hours, you would sit there and play in your own room and talk to them. Mm-hmm. So that was our way of interacting with each other when we couldn't see each other. And then from then on, Halo 3 came out. I got really good at the game without like practicing. I wasn't trying to get good at the game. I was just trying to win each game and be happy that I won the game. And I noticed I was actually pretty good at the game. I was in the toughest playlist. I was the top ranked player, like not the number one ranked, but like level 50 was the highest you could get.
Right.
Once I got there, I was like, maybe I can actually
good.
maybe I could do something. So there's local tournaments in like Zephyr Hills, Florida, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And I would just go to those and people would know who I was. I'd win it, and they'd be like, who are you? And, you know, hey, you should come out to this bigger tournament. And so I'd go out to there. And, you know, eventually I found out about Major League Gaming and started my career. I went there in 2009 to my first tournament and then went pro in 2010.
Wow. So how do you go pro? Do you just declare it, or do you have to get signed or something? How does that work?
There's a couple different definitions of it based on who you're talking to. The general public would probably say something like, if you're making money, enough money to consider it like an income, then you're a professional at it. In the Halo scene, it's if you're a certain placing. Right now, it's the top eight teams are professional players. And so I was a top eight. I'm a top eight player, so I'm a professional player. I'm signed, and I'm making money enough money at tournaments to consider this my job.
That's amazing to me. There's always that. When I'm 33, so when I was growing up, that was get your head out of that video game. It's not going to get you anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So when did this become a thing where now you could make money doing this? How did that happen?
It's always been a thing since it's always been a thing, really. You think about before video games came out, chess tournaments. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like a video game. But you make money by going to these tournaments and placing well at them.
Right.
Basically like an entry fee, and then the winner takes all or winner takes a lot of the money.
I always think that chess, you have to kind of be like autistic because it's like math and I don't know, you got to plan way ahead. But with video games, it seems like you just have to have dexterity in your hands, right?
A little bit. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it nowadays where if you're only focused on your ability to shoot and your ability to move around the map, it's not enough. You have to think about what you're doing, what they're doing, how do you counter that? Think three steps ahead. All right, this is where I'm going to go. So he's going to counter that by doing this. So I'm going to, you know, counter that by doing this next move. And while there's still that shooting element where you have to be able to shoot, it's not as important anymore as being able to strategize with your team or by yourself.
Right, right. So there's thought. Do you have, like, practices? Like, football teams have practices where they have to go and, you know, look at the opposing team and, you know, dissect film and stuff. Are you doing that with your teammates?
Oh, absolutely. You go back. Mostly you don't watch your opponent's film. Sometimes you do get scheduled matches like a week in advance and you're saying, all right, I want to counter this team somehow. Let's watch a little bit. Let's see their tendencies and let's figure out how to counter that. But mostly you go back and watch your own film and say, hey, we made this mistake here. We weren't as efficient in this position. Let's practice that next time. But yeah, we have team practices where, you know, every night we hop on, pretty much every night, we hop on for 3 hours a night and scrimmage in the other team. And then we'll get off and talk about what we did right, what we did wrong, what we want to improve on.
So I guess it's just online now. You don't even have to be in the same place. Just get online and do your thing.
Yeah, exactly. There's some places that you can go to and land. I went to Las Vegas last summer and was able to land with my team where we would play against another team we were sitting next to and basically team bond while we were there.
Mm-hmm. The Twitch TV.
Yes.
I don't know anything about that. It seems like the next big thing, though.
Yes.
I mean, it's mostly video games, right? But there's other stuff on there. You can kind of broadcast anything, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. It's free to broadcast. It's free to watch. There's some advertisements. You can support them yourself by subscribing or donating. Honestly, it's just fantastic. It's basically television, but it's marketed to you as an individual because you can choose from over, like, probably, what, 100,000 people streaming at any time.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go find a popular one that everyone enjoys, or go find your own niche.
Niche, I think it's acceptable.
You can find your own niche in there and figure out what you like, whether it's sports games, poker, people play music, or you can watch popular games that come out. A new game comes out, you're not sure if it's good or not, you're not sure if you're gonna like it, you can watch someone else play it for a little bit, see if it's good, see if they like it, maybe you'll like it.
Yeah, you got, do you have a channel there?
Yeah, I have twitch.tv/RyanNoob. I've been streaming for, what, 8 years now? And I'm on and off a lot. Sometimes I'll stream for a month straight. Sometimes I won't stream at all. Right now we're in a bit of an off season, so I'm taking the time to relax, hang out with my fiance.
Yeah, right on. When did you get engaged?
August 28th of 2016. And we're getting married here in December.
Oh, you got a date then. That was going to be my next question. Had a date yet. That's cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
So with the game, you're specialized in Halo, but do you play other things, and are you trying to get good at another game in order to kind of compete in that arena?
Absolutely. I love esports as in general. It's just the competitive video games. So I'll play any game that I pick up competitively. I'll play FIFA competitively. I'll play Madden. I'll play Counter-Strike. Wow. Counter-Strike. I'll play Dota. Dota is a computer game. It's a MOBA. It's hard to talk about just the general population because it's very strategic. It's a pretty weird game, but there's probably like 5 million people worldwide that play it, probably 100,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ranked top 200 in North America because I played that game so much and I enjoyed it. I've kind of taken a step back from it, but yeah, I play all types of games competitively. Whenever I grew up, I was playing soccer competitively. I was playing at my school and my recreation leagues, and I got varsity my freshman year. So, like, I've always been just that competitive person trying to beat other competitive players because that's just what I like.
Did you notice a difference from playing soccer, you know, an actual sport, you know, I'll put that in quotation marks, and playing an online game? Is there any differences in the competitiveness? Other than, obviously, one's physical, of course, and then the other one's more, I guess, mental maybe?
I would say that mostly it's just respect between players. You get to see each other's faces while you're playing soccer. So the emotions are there a lot more than just playing online. You don't know who you're playing. You're playing against a name. You don't get to see their face. You don't get to see how they're acting. You just play against them. So it's more fun in person, but it's easier to do just to play video games. I say that, like, when you get mad at someone in person, like if someone's like cheating in soccer, they're diving, they're throwing elbows, you hate that person.
Yeah.
You absolutely hate that person. Or if you're having a good soccer game and you're having a lot of fun, it was a good game overall, everyone played well and the refs were great, you know, you're super happy at the end of it. You love these guys that you're playing against and you'd like to play them again. In Halo, it's not really that. You just kind of play against names and you start to learn the people you're playing with. If you play with your friends or play with you find friends online, but you don't really have that attachment, that emotional attachment online.
Yeah. Now, my suspicion, and this is just my theory, is that eventually, you know, the NFL is dealing with the concussion issue, and should people even be playing that sport? My theory is that eventually it's going to be people either simulating some sort of robot drone playing the game.
Yeah.
Or it's just going to be totally online in some sort of virtual reality, and that sport might just go away, as it might with in general. Do you see that happening, or do you think there will always be real sports?
I think with soccer, there will always be real sports. You look at it across the world. You don't need anything to be able to play it. You know, with football, you kind of need stuff. You need to have a place to play it, and in America, it's kind of hard to find that, just to be able to pick up a game and do it.
Right.
With soccer, you can always find a place to do it, and if you look across the world, there's just places that you can't do anything besides soccer. So I think soccer will stay. America's got this thing with football where you're not really sure how to feel about it.
Right.
You don't know if it's good because of the concussions, because of people getting hurt all the time. But I think esports is kind of its own thing. It's on the rise, And it's not really going to stop. It's not going to be hindered because of something sports-wise. I think it's just its own genre that people are finding out about and finding out that they actually love this.
It's just such a weird, I don't know, juxtaposition, because it seems like there could be a person who's good at, let's say, a UFC game, right? And then Conor McGregor is like the top fighter, right, over there, or he was at one point. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be another person who's just as famous as Conor McGregor for operating the computerized version of Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of already happening. I wouldn't say at that level, but there are like the top players in each game. I mean, we have Ninja. Do you know Ninja?
I don't.
Ninja is one of my former Halo teammates, and he went on to play this new game, Fortnite. Have you heard of that one?
Yes.
And suddenly he was the most popular streamer. He was having 50,000 people watch him. And then somehow, I don't really know the story, but Drake hit him up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the singer Drake, and they played Fortnite. They had 500,000 people watching him.
Oh, wow.
So Ninja, who's just this, you know, streamer, has as many followers now, as many people who know his name as these top singers, like, putting out albums all the time.
It's crazy, because I got stuck. My buddy watches. He's in the games, and he was watching Fortnite on Twitch. And at first, I was like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, I'm watching these dudes play Fortnite. And I was like, okay. So I sat down and watched, and I admittedly didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It was consuming watching it, and I could see the strategy with it. It was like sports. It was kind of like watching a football game.
Mm-hmm. If you're able to sit down, so you haven't played Fortnite before, right?
I haven't. I was just going in blind. Yeah.
So that's just showing you the bare minimum of, like, yeah, you can see there's some strategy and there's some fun. But then if you sit down and play it and you try and figure it out and then you stop and you watch a streamer play it, your mind gets blown by how much they're able to do, because you see them doing these things, right? And they're like, oh, I guess you could figure that out after a little while of playing. No, that's like, that's their 10 hours a day, every single day, streaming it live for them to figure just that out. That would take a normal person a ridiculously long amount of time.
Right.
And so, like, that's the fascination with the esports right now. I watch this player, Shroud, who plays PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, which is kind of like Fortnite, just a more realistic version, I guess. There's mm-hmm. no building. I don't know. It's kind of Call of Duty-like. And the way he, like, whips around, the skill that he puts on in the games, the show that he puts on, just, like, it fascinates me, because I play that game a little bit, and I'm just, like, I'm happy to get a kill. He gets 10 in, like, 5 seconds, and it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty – it's amazing how much really does go into it. I do have an appreciation – like, I don't know anything about mm-hmm. it. I really stopped playing video games. I played a game called Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this game?
I've heard of it. I don't think I played it, though.
It is intense, boy. I'll tell you that much. It scared me. I got too into the game, right? So I didn't want to die. I was afraid to die in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have that problem where you get so into the game that it's hard to separate the two?
With scary games, absolutely. I can't do them anymore. I played a couple of them back in the day, but now I love watching other people play them. As a new game came out that was just like a flare for a week called Welcome to the Game 2. And it was just this guy trying to, like, hack people, but he was getting — it's a scary game because you're sitting there focused on his computer screen, and then suddenly, like, a guy comes up and kills him, and you didn't hear him at all. Like, he made some key noises that you should have heard,
right,
but he didn't.
Right.
And so you freak out, and he freaks out, and you like watching him freak out. Kind of like this game, Amnesia the Dark Descent. I watched one of these popular streamers, Day 9, who — I love this guy — and he played Amnesia, and he's freaking out at every little thing going on. He's got his room dark, so he's just getting into it. And then something pops out and scares him. Ah, and, you know, you're like, ah, and he laughs, and you laugh, and it's like you're in the same room as him. And so, like, that's where Twitch is at right now, and it's just beautiful, honestly.
I can't imagine that game when you're, like, the virtual reality's next, right? Where you're just going to wear the headset and actually being in it.
Yeah, virtual
reality
is going to be something.
Too much, yeah. Because, I mean, I imagine it's the same thing. You could put it on and then see what the other person's seeing, so it'll just be like you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no control then. You're kind of at the mercy of your player.
Yeah, exactly. With virtual reality, though, it's in its infancy, just kind of like esports is right now. It's too hard to control everything. But once you're able to set it up to where you can actually control, if you've seen the movie Ready Player One recently,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you got the full body suit and you're able to, like, actually run around then yeah, it'll kind of be like that. If you can get it like that, then the games are going to be ridiculous. But right now it's in its infancy. It's like you can't really control your character, so it's kind
of
boring.
Yeah. Ryan Geddes is here this week. He is the world champion Halo player. Of, is it Halo 3 that you're the champ of?
Halo 5 now.
Halo 5. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How much do you spend time-wise playing that game, you know, let's say a day, I guess?
A day, I'd say about 3 hours a day we put in the practices for the team. Playing solo matchmaking, it's you play against people who are just like way underskilled for the professional scene, so it's not really worth to put in the time for that. So you set up times to scrimmage against other teams and play in those, and then you sit there and afterwards you talk to your team and say, hey, what do you do right? What did you do wrong? Kind of talk about it. But back in the day, whenever before I was pro, like you have to put in so much time in order to be pro, like to be, catch up to the people who are above you. So I'd sit there and put in 10 hours a week, like 5 days a week.
Oh, wow.
10 hours a day, 5 days.
How did you do school and stuff?
I was bad.
I just didn't do it.
I was a really good student up until like 10th grade. And then 10th grade is when I was like starting to actually put in the time into Halo. So I'd get done with school. If I had soccer, I'd do soccer. And then I'd go home and play Halo. And then, like, as I started getting really good at Halo, I would have to take time away from soccer, and then I would take time away from sleeping, and then I'd take...
Right.
And it started getting pretty bad, but I think I managed myself decently well. You know, I still graduated with a decent GPA and, you know, stuff like that.
All you need is the piece of paper. Yeah. That's it. I mean, especially if you're going after the professional thing, you don't need a college degree to, you know, play video games.
Yeah, exactly. And I've learned so much through these video games, and I'll be able to put it into, you know, different jobs within esports. It's not like with esports, it's not just you're competing. You can also work in esports, either as a tournament organization person, like work somewhere in there, or you can as a players organization, like a team organization. There's just so many jobs in esports right now that just being pro, it's got its shelf life, right? But yeah, you can exit with some knowledge that you can put into a career later on.
Is there any careers that wouldn't involve actually playing the game?
Yeah.
Like what else would there be that's, you know, we'd be employable for?
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got the tournament organizers who throw the tournaments, so you could be part of them. What I'm thinking of is basically putting together brackets, formats for tournaments, picking out which ones are the best ones, because currently no one really knows how to do that.
Right.
I'm looking at these formats and like, what the hell's happening? Why are these, how are these decisions possible? Right. Like, it's just so simple. Here's how you fix it. And they don't want to fix it. And it's like, well, I know what I'm going to do whenever I'm starting to fall off.
Start a company or something.
Yeah,
dude, I'm telling you, consulting work is the way to go.
Exactly.
With that. I mean, there's no overhead. It's just you, and you just everything's profit that
Perfect.
You could potentially make. That's the way to do it. I'm trying to start a company doing podcast stuff. So if anybody wants to do a podcast, doesn't know how, hey, I'm your guy. Homemadepodcast.com, by the way, folks, if you're interested in learning how to do that. Small businesses, individuals, it doesn't matter. Contact homemadepodcast.com. Anywho, back to the video games. So is there what's your new favorite game right now that's out?
New favorite game. I'm going back to an oldie, actually. I've been playing some Counter-Strike with my friends. So that game came out a long time ago. The newest one came out a long time ago, but people are starting to hop on the bandwagon of, hey, this older game is actually a good game. Some people have been doing that for Super Smash Brothers. I don't know if you know that game.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Nintendo characters.
Yeah. So what happened with that game is Super Smash Brothers Melee came out in probably like 2000-something, 2005 or somewhere around there. Some new games have came out, Super Smash Bros. 4, Super Smash Bros. Brawl. But the competitive scene is a grassroots scene that played Super Smash Bros. Melee, one of the older games, because it was so technically skilled, because it was just such a great game competitively, that all the competitive players from, you know, any genre went back and played that game because it was the most technically gifted game that they could find.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've been doing with these games recently, is like, these new games are fun, right? For a little bit, Fortnite, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, stuff like that. But Counter-Strike has went through the test of time and is still just a great game. And so I've been able to go back to it and play it, and I've been having a lot of fun with my friends.
Is there any new games that you like? Fortnite, you said, right?
Yeah, I played Fortnite. I actually didn't like it that much.
Really? Oh my goodness. Yeah, isn't that blasphemy at this point?
Oh, it's ridiculous. I can't tell anyone because they're going to, what? I thought you'd have liked it. but no, I just don't like that game that much.
Yeah.
I understand the skill it takes, and I appreciate it, but I just, it's not for me.
What makes a good video game, in your opinion?
Oh, there's so many things that go into that. I can't talk about it. It's just got to, for me, it's just about the competitiveness of it, as well as just...
It's like art, right? It's all subjective. People like different things. You might hate this game, and everybody else, you know, loves this one.
Exactly. For me, it's mostly art and some sort of realism. Mm-hmm. Fortnite, it's too kooky for me.
Yeah.
So I just
there's so much going on. Like, I didn't... Yeah. I'm just like, there's some guy shooting some sort of electrical beam out of there. I don't know what's going on there. I'm asking Dan. I think I'm annoying Dan because I keep asking him questions about what's happening. I'm trying to learn, yeah, though, Dan. Yeah, yeah. Come on, help me out here. Where do you see the future of gaming going?
It's just heading in the right direction right now with these esports. I think that it's going to go the way of a little bit of Ready Player One, like I talked about, where it's mostly just competitive. It's mostly, that's the genre now for video games. A lot of people played casually, and there's still some casual games that come out, but the main focus will be competitive games and being able to either relax while playing competitive games or going hard and playing competitive games. But that's going to be the talk now. When you're a kid growing up, it's like, hey, how are you doing in your game that you're playing? How technically gifted are you? Are you having fun doing that? You know, we should play this other game, this other genre together, even though we're two different, we're from two different genres. Oh, but yeah, that's, I don't know.
Is there, so you say, is Counter-Strike a possibility where you could have, make money at, like, doing that? Or is it too old now where nobody's really putting up, what do you call them, the conferences where people get together and play? Yeah,
tournaments?
Yeah.
No, it's, sorry, try not to use abbreviations. CSGO, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, it's still got tournaments going on. Right, okay. Now, I think there's a $500,000 tournament.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, and that's going on, like, this weekend, although there's some questionable things going on with it. It's being hosted on Facebook, not Twitch.
Uh-huh.
And so Facebook has just the worst video quality
you've ever seen.
So people are getting upset about that, but it's still a $500,000 tournament.
Is Facebook putting it on?
Yeah, they're the ones streaming it.
I gotcha.
And so, but anyway, there's still money to be made of it. Could I make money? Absolutely not. The game's too old. It's got mouse and keyboard. I'm a controller person.
Right, right.
I just play these games for fun. So I can't, like, aim very well, but strategy with Dota is a little bit different. But no, I can't make money at it. It's too ridiculous.
I don't want to get too personal with your money situation, but I am curious if you're surviving, making enough money to live, or are you doing well? You leave it at that, I guess, even.
No, I can talk a little bit about it. So I can talk about what's public. So recently, these last 3 months of February, March, and April, I've made $10,000 through tournaments.
Damn. That's pretty good.
Yeah, $10,000 through tournaments, as well as my I was getting money from my sponsor,
mm-hmm.
who pays me, I would say, about $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I'm getting some money from Twitch, from streaming on there. And yeah, that's generally like how it goes. But there's also times in my career where there haven't been tournaments going on, or I haven't been at the top, so I'm not getting money from sponsors. I'm not getting money from tournaments. So there's times where I get, you know, these big scores of $10,000 in 3 months, or there's times where I get nothing for 6 months. So it's,
yeah, feast or famine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you kind of, even though you're making money now, you kind of got to sock it away because you never know when it's going to come
exactly.
again.
Exactly. You don't celebrate with this money. You just continue surviving on what you've been surviving on. I take that a little bit from poker. I've watched a lot of poker, and I've thought about it a lot. And even though you have those big bankrolls, you still have to live a modest life, or else you're going to run through it very fast.
Right, right. I know a guy, actually. He came on here. He's a writer. And later, because I was like, are you making your money writing? And he goes, no, man. I'm like, what do you do? He goes, I can't tell you. I went, oh, God. But he told me afterwards, he plays blackjack. He can't play at the Hard Rock anymore. He'll go to Malaysia and play, and I guess he's just really good at it. I don't think he counts cards, but he's just, I don't know, he just knows the game in and out and does pretty well. But it's the same thing with him where, you know, he might make $100,000, but then nothing for, you know, he's losing 30 grand. And it's just, it seems like a hell of a lifestyle having to do that where you don't have anything just coming in consistently. But on your in your case, you're kind of like an athlete a little bit because you're signed to a team.
Yep.
You kind of at least have some steady income coming in where at least you can, you know, eat ramen noodles if you need to and have a home to live in and stuff like that. And then you're, I guess your contract's up, right? So you'll probably be signing somewhere else in the near future.
Yeah, exactly. Free agency, basically, like in any sports that you've watched. I had the season. Now it's in the off season. Sometimes you get signed for more than one season. But for me, I'm a free agent. I'll get picked up on a team under an organization. How much salary has to be negotiated, how long it's going to be needs to be negotiated.
Do you do that, your contract, or do you have an agent that does that?
Mostly it's me. Mm-hmm. I've figured out I've been under a lot of organizations, so I'm able to bargain. I'm able to negotiate.
You know what the going rates are.
Yeah, exactly. How much other people are getting paid and how much supply there is, how many people want to hop into Halo as a team, as an organization coming into Halo. So I'm able to guess about how much, and then I'll start a bidding war between a couple of organizations. Say, all right, this guy's paying me this much. How much would you pay?
I mean, that's another way to go too for a business is be a game agent. You could help these younger guys out. You know,
absolutely.
Get 10% for doing it.
Yeah, there's some big contracts out there for some games that are inflated. You've got Overwatch that just came out recently. They're getting paid ridiculous money. You got the NBA 2K mm-hmm. that came out. I don't know if you're a fan of sports games. They have their league, and each of their players are getting paid, like, I think it's $30,000 for 6 months and all their housing stuff.
Wow.
Because they all have to live in the same house.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, agents nowadays.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a new thing. Jeez, that's crazy. What would be your advice to someone who wants to get into professional gaming? What would you be... I don't know, your one, number one piece of knowledge that you've gained doing it?
I always hate saying this because it's just not really advice, but it's what I did, and it's what the newer players have done. Splice, they just won the world championship for the 4v4.
Mm-hmm.
They're all ridiculously young, or most of them are ridiculously young, 16, 17 years old. It's all about playing the game the most.
Right.
You have to play, like, the people who are at the top right now, people like me, have been playing this game for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna beat me at this game, you can't put in the same amount of hours that I am.
You have to put in more.
Yeah. So you can catch up and eventually beat that person.
It's got to be such a strain for parents because now it's viable. It's not like you're just wasting your time playing this game. It could potentially be viable where, you know, your son or daughter makes money, like decent money doing this. You know, some of these people are making more than doctors and some athletes, for God's sakes. So it's got to be so... I don't know, how did your parents react when you told them?
Oh, yeah. So my parents were pretty relaxed about me putting in a decent amount of hours. I couldn't stay up too late. Like, they'd cut me off at, like, 11. So I'd get home at, like, 3, play till 11. I would take a break for whatever. But... generally, my parents were pretty supportive after I started making money. So I would play till 3 to 11. I'd say, hey, team, I can't do better than that. I went to a couple of tournaments for fun, and then I started getting serious. And my parents were a little bit more lax. They're like, all right, as long as you're getting good grades, you're not showing any symptoms of bad sleep, you'll be all right. And then whenever I started making money, I went to MLG Columbus 2010. And I got 5th place with my team. Made $1,500, somewhere around there. And they're like, okay. Okay, you can judge for yourself. You know more about this than I do. Yeah. I'm going to still nudge you in the right direction. But that's basically how they were. And that's how I'd suggest parents to do it nowadays. Make sure they're doing their things that they need to do. But recognize that this is a legitimate thing that they could end up showing off.
It's kind of like, I guess it's similar to sports. I mean, athletes that really do it are going to camps, are going to AAU. They're spending a lot of time after school, you know, doing this. So I guess it's similar to that, right? I mean,
yeah.
just make sure you go to school. But other than that, just do your thing if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. How do you have fun? Like, parents don't want to overshadow once you get that age of, like, 15 years old. They don't want to overshadow you. So make sure you have your fun. Before I started getting to Halo, I was doing skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was having a lot of fun hanging out with my friends doing that. And then I stopped skateboarding and started playing Halo.
Man, it's pretty wild. It just seems like such a... I mean, I know, speaking to you, that it's a real thing, but it just... God, it must make parents so nervous just seeing a kid with their head in a TV, you know,
oh,
the whole time. people can play you, right? You got an event coming up where people can play with you?
Yeah, this Sunday, the 20th.
Oh, damn it. That's when this airs. The 20th, okay. And it's at the Microsoft store in International Plaza,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, I'll tweet it out beforehand.
That'll be from 12 to 5.
Right on. So that's an all-day thing. And then is there some sort of prize or something if somebody manages to beat you, or just respect?
There's a lot of respect, but there's some prizes definitely that they haven't announced yet. Sometimes they give out gift cards. Sometimes they give out merchandise. They can't do prizing. They can't do money because it's a free-to-enter tournament for a chain store. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of prizing that goes there, and there's a lot of fun. You get free drinks. You get free food. So.
But let's be honest, nobody's going to touch you in this thing.
So it's a 2v2 tournament, and the player that I'm playing with I met at the Microsoft store. He's 12, maybe 13 now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a young player, and I just decided like he was a fun player for me to play with because I'm not stomping people, but I'm also competing for first.
Right.
So I think it's a perfect partner to choose to where people can actually still beat me.
Local guy?
Oh,
local
yeah.
Local kid?
Yeah, local kid. 20 minutes away. He was there with his mom at the first event. He's been coming with his mom every time, and she makes some nice food every time. So it's a lot of fun.
Cool, man. And that, again, is at the International Plaza. Is that correct?
Yes.
At the Microsoft store on the 20th, unfortunately, when this airs. I was hoping to get you before this, but that's my fault. Ryan, thank you very much for coming in. Any social media where people can find you, your Twitch channel and all that?
Yeah, you got the twitch.tv/RyanOob.
That's Ryan and then Oob at the end,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
I like that gamer tag.
Yeah.
Old teammate made it up for me a while ago, and I was like a really good noob, and it's like, that's too much.
Just it just flowed together naturally, yeah. Right on.
And then there's Twitter, twitter.com/RyanOobHCS.
Sweet.
And that'll be it. I'm not really on Facebook, not really on Instagram, Snapchat.
Smart man. You don't need it.
I don't need
you're good
stuff.
With Twitter and Twitch. That's
exactly.
All you need.
Who needs more than that? Like,
man, it's my biggest regret when I have to like be on Facebook now for my podcast stuff and radio stuff. And I'm like, I wish I never would have started. It sucks.
Yeah,
it drains me.
Some people link me to Facebook and I'm just like scrolling through a little bit like, oh.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. I don't post on there anymore. Yeah. I got people like mad at me for jokes that I had posted for God's sakes. But so I'm just like, I'm done with Facebook. I can't do it because now with the politics, now everybody's so sensitive. It's insane. But I still have it open to see just what's going on and just roll my eyes in disgust constantly. I don't know why I do it to myself. Just let it go.
Exactly.
All right, Ryan. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go, Ryan Geddes. The world champion of Halo 5. So, kids, if you want to be a professional video game player, you tell your parents to frig off and point them in the direction of Ryan Geddes. Like, see, man, I can do it too. Thanks for coming in, Ryan. I do appreciate it. This has been the homemade broadcast here on RadioSaintPete.com, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. 813-693-2124 if you want to leave a voice or text message. Get a hold of me. Got stickers still. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. I guess that's it, right? Have a great week, everybody. My name is Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Stay tuned if you're listening on Radio St. Pete. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is next, followed by the Indie Circuit. And you should listen to those. If you listen on podcasts, thanks a lot. Talk to you next week. Later.